Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you after the great long Memorial Day weekend?
So good.
Good.
So good. How about you?
I'm good. Good. Made a trip up north to Boise. Hung out with the family.
Nice.
Hung out with some friends. It was good. Did play some golf. I know that you did not. You were in full vacay mode.
Yeah. Well, we go up to Bear Lake and we get the cabin ready for the whole summer. So we do a lot of work. Did a lot of kayak moving. So I made sure I didn't hurt myself, which was good because I have so much more golf to play this summer.
Yeah. Good. It's good. There was some golf played. It was actually a lot. There was the Charles Schwab Challenge was played this weekend. The Women's National College Championship was completed this weekend. The men's was played, not completed. Championships tomorrow.
Played the cut.
Yeah. The Final Four, so I watched it a little bit today. I had stuff to do in the afternoon, but the Final Four was Georgia Tech, North Carolina, and then Florida State. So let's look that up to see who's in the finals. Let's see. Live updates. Florida and Georgia Tech. So Utah boy will be playing. Connor Howe will be playing in the finals tomorrow. That'll be good. Yeah, so that was fun. And then some pro tournaments. Charles Schwab Challenge and the Live event in D.C. Didn't watch much of both. I think I watched the end and then some of the playoff. It was a long day hanging out with fam, and I think me and the wife took a nap during the playoff. I watched one hole and then did not get to see Emil Griot. It's a fun name to say. Emilio. It's probably Emilio. I just wanted to say Emilio Griot sounds more fun. But I guess he hit a... So in regulation, he was playing well and pushed his tee shot into a culvert, a hazard area, and made double. Woo. To then drop back from 10 under to 8 under. And Harry Hall, who was in the leader after 2 days at 12 under, was also at that point at 8 under, along with Adam Shank. And Hall hit his drive and didn't think he'd get it, but hit it in the water left and made bogey to not get in the playoff. But I was talking to a buddy of mine who I ended up playing some golf with on Monday, and he said that Griot got a very friendly kick on hole number 16, second hole of the playoff, and had it kick right up to about 4 feet. So there you go. Griot gets his second PGA Tour win. Where was his first? And when was his first?
Nobody can remember.
Yeah, it's because it was 8 years ago.
Second win after 8 years. Last was 2016 Napa Valley Tour Stop at Silverado North Course. And used to be called the fries.com, but I think it's a Safeway, you know?
Safeway, yeah. Yeah, it used to be the fries.com open. But yeah, 8 years ago, which is crazy, right? We've had a few guys do that in the last little bit where they have had significant spaces of time in between wins. I think the last one was last year. Stuart Sink did it and had like 5 or 6 years in between, which is just crazy. But yeah, got it done. It was a tournament that looked like Harry Hall was going to run away with it. He got a 4 or 5 shot lead after 2 days, came back to the field, was still tied for the lead. Had back-to-back doubles on Saturday, got it back to 10 under, was tied with Adam Schenck going into the final round, and just looked like a tournament nobody wanted to win. They're like, no, you have it. No, no, really, you have it. No, I want it. Oh, just never mind. You can have it. And even in the, it sounds like, because they're like, it's not showing video of it, of his shot into there, but it sounds like even Emiliano, I'd put Emiliano Grillo, and I butchered his name like 4 times. but even he didn't want to really win it. He just got a good bounce that was a putt that he couldn't then miss.
Yeah, that's it's troubling to see a tournament end in that fashion, but
where it goes. Well, I mean, he did win it with a birdie.
Playoff. But
in a playoff. But yeah, two guys hit it in the water. Had a chance in the final round.
Yeah.
And one of them ended up getting the win. But yeah, it's a rough scene. And it didn't look like it was that like tough of a tee shot. Harry's Hall's just from his Paul Strand interview sounded like he's like, I didn't think I even had a chance to get it there with the driver. So it may have got one of the four fairway bounces. Just rocketed forward.
Well, I mean, this wasn't a premium tour stop. I don't know what they're called. A good tour stop.
Elevated event, designated event. Yeah. Something. Whatever.
But we still had some decent players perform. And maybe Scottie Scheffler didn't have his A game, but that's what you get when you get a high caliber player in a mediocre field that was just kind of there having fun, maybe.
So he was another one in Texas, right? So I think he feels obligated when it's anywhere around his hometown.
I will highlight Ricky Fowler's performance, tied for sixth. So
tied for sixth. I actually saw a stat on him that he has had more top 10s and top 20s this year than the previous 3 years combined already. That's crazy, right?
Well, yeah, that is crazy. I am a huge Ricky Fowler fan, and it's not because he's really good at marketing. Like, I just like the guy.
Yeah, you like orange. That's the reason.
No, not even the case.
I thought he was done. He still hasn't won yet. I did say that I don't know that if he win again, but he's definitely putting together some good finishes for sure.
Yeah, if he did this type of a finish, say in a marquee field, that would be wow.
He's had a couple of designated finishes where he's finished pretty well.
Yeah,
but this is definitely moving him up the board.
Totally.
Where does he end up? Where is he at in the FedEx Cup? Is he up to 30? Is that what I saw?
Top 30, no, he's 26 now. So he's
26.
That's pretty solid. You're a top 30 player on the PGA Tour, based on points. Max Homa, who's number three in the FedEx Cup rankings, he got a T9, tied for ninth. Justin Rose has been playing well. He got tied for 12th. Victor Hovland tied for 16th. So, I mean, it wasn't a bad feat, but
no. Victor Hovland had a bad final round.
Yeah.
He finally, his gas tank finally run that out. I think he probably just started missing some shots. But I don't know.
I love the passion of Victor Hovland. Maybe that's his downfall. But not so good performance. I would say Colin Morikawa tied for 29th. I'd kind of expect more out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And who just took a dump? Let's see who.
Well, Finau didn't make the cut. He was there. He didn't make
the cut. There's a dump right there. Almost a top 10 player in the world not making the cut.
Yeah.
Or at plus one. The cut at plus one.
Yeah, he was at plus two and didn't make the cut. So definitely not.
Yeah.
Not a good showing.
Jordan Spieth plus four. That
so,
deserves. And who got dead last?
Oh, that was Golden Boy. And like I said, this is not, but this just shows you that everything fell perfectly into place for Michael Block.
Yeah.
The week prior, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he shoots 81. 74 comes back with a respectable 74, but it just shows you that the reason they did make such a big deal of it is because of that, but at the same time they're making him out to be something that he wasn't, right? He caught lightning in a bottle.
Which I think it's great. I mean, that's amazing. I love it when people catch lightning. But I think this is a good example of the difference between a tour player and a guy who maybe wants to be a tour player. I don't think he had the recovery routine that these tour players have in place.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What do you do after not just say a big week, what do you do after just playing? What gets you ready, recovered for the next, game time on the course, walking another 18, putting yourself in tournament, like that to me. And when we were talking about this, I have seen way more skilled players not perform as well on tour than those that are really good at traveling and really good at preparing for tournaments. Those those guys that know how to prepare and travel will beat the skilled player 9 out of 10 times.
Right. It's the reason, one of the reasons that Matt Wolf came out and did it, was hot, but then he was like, oh wait, this is taxing. I don't know. Right. He was riding on kind of pure kind of talent there for a little bit. But then you've got a guy like the guy who wins the DC Live event, who you were saying just kind of gets it done, right? You caddied while in the same group for a practice round. And he wasn't like anything special, but that's not saying, obviously he's pretty solid, right?
Oh, of course.
As a player, but comparatively, right? Nothing flashy, nothing that you'd be like, oh, this guy's going to be it. And he hasn't won on the PGA Tour, but he was continually getting his card on the PGA Tour, and keeping his card after getting through the Corn Ferry.
So that's skill, right? Like, how do you not just play good in one tournament, but how do you play good in 25 tournaments?
How do you stay healthy, stay motivated, don't get exhausted, right?
Oh,
there has to be that bit of it where there's guys who just who probably have the talent that just don't can't do the travel life.
Yeah.
They just don't know how to do it. So they eventually fall off and they don't perform as well as their ability.
And I think there's psychology to it as well, where you've got really nice guys, but then you've got really positive guys. And I would say Harold Varner falls in that positive category. Like he's super upbeat. And it's like he's got that goldfish mentality. He'll go out there and do that. Although there's a different kind of player out there that dominates. And I remember, I think it was Jack Nicklaus or something, or maybe it was Arnold, but they were leaving the Masters after like round one. And they were like, who's that young guy in the bunker still practicing out there? And it was Tom Watson. Right. And like, there are some guys that are just wired to like go, go, go all the time. And those are the 30 plus wins, 4+ majors,
right?
Kind of Hall of Famer scenario where it's just like, these guys truly love to hit golf balls.
Yeah. Grinders with talent.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah. Crazy, but yeah. Harold Varner gets a win, shoots 4 under, comes from behind. I think he was one. He beat him by 3. He was 2 back of Mito Pereira going into the final round, but gets him a nice little paycheck.
Little? Wait, well, how much was that?
Oh, that was $4 million.
$4 million buckaroonies.
And then the Range Goats took 3rd in the team event. So that was another like $125,000 on top of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I will say this year, whatever they did to tweak the team event, it's working.
Yeah.
It's working. It's
definitely more competitive. So,
because yeah, four aces still have the overall lead, just because they've been really consistent, but they've only won once. The only team that's won twice has been Torque GC.
Yeah.
And they got their second win this time. So it's shaping out. And one thing we did put on this is there is a rumor that Nike is interested in Smash GC Brooks's?
I think so. Who's on Smash?
Yeah. Smash. Yeah. Smash GC.
Jason and Matt Wolf.
And I believe they're all Nike guys, which makes sense. But for $2 billion.
They're going to own the team?
That's the rumor. That's the rumor that they got shot out this week. So wow. If that happens, can you say game changer?
Oof. I think the sponsorship will happen. I don't know about the price tag.
Right.
It's hard negotiations there. But when you get a brand sponsoring, like that's exactly what they wanted. Like
yes.
We kind of have these fake names, but now it's Team Nike. Oh, what's
well,
this?
I think well they were target? Saying it wouldn't be Team Nike, but they changed it to Team Swoosh.
Whoa!
And then tweak the logo a little bit.
And it gives somebody else like an opportunity, like Team Titleist. Why not? Team TaylorMade. Like you get your own team and then you just deck them out.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So, like I said, if it happens, it's a pretty big deal, whether it's that price tag, even if it's half, even if it's like in the high 9 figures, right?
Yeah.
That's still a huge thing that they're going to be like, well, our format may work, right? Because then, because then you can start attracting some other, they're like, oh, it's legitimately becoming a thing, right? If they get that, then there's a good chance that it, you know, that people can't say, well, it's going to be over in a year. No, not with, if that happens, because if one of them does, you're right, they're going to be others to follow, whether it's necessarily an apparel brand, but there'll be other brands that come in
and, yeah,
and get on that. So,
well, it's, it is a great opportunity, to be honest. So I think it's great. I mean, heck, why can't it be Team Goodyear? Why can't it be Team Stanley? Like, who cares? If a company wants to do it, go for it.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy. That would be bonkers that it would happen this quick, right? And with such a high profile company coming in. But I speaking like of Titleist, Team Titleist, they're doing a little tour release this weekend at the Memorial.
And they've done this for a while where they only release the irons on tour.
Like significantly ahead of anybody else.
They call it Titleist team testing, but you know that these tour pros have been coming down for the past month to their facility at TPI, testing the new stuff. I mean, that's just nature of the beast. But they've released it on a tour because that's where the cameras are out and they're going to be getting taken pictures of. And they learned to finally just release stuff on their own Instagram. So they dropped the news first.
Yeah.
And they've got four new models coming out. I'll just read them off. T100, T150, T200, T350.
And they all, I will say this, they did, because in Golf Digest, they have a write-up about it as of yesterday, but they all look a lot closer, right? Where you could match like the T100s, T150s together, T150s, T200s together, and you're not going to have such a big difference. Even the T200s to the T350s, if you wanted to combo set that, the look of them is much more similar than they have done in the past.
Yeah, they really have. And to be honest, like, and not even this release, because we haven't seen it in hand, but I was holding the T200 from last release, and I was impressed with how clean that looked for it.
Yeah. Kind and of, this one looks better just from the first initial pictures of it. This one looks better.
It does. And like, I mean, let's get this out of the way. Yes, Titleist makes great irons. Turns out they're the most used iron on tour. They led the field at the PGA Championship as well. Tons of tour validation, obviously, on the iron side for them. But they really, I think, did something cool here. And I've got a little conspiracy theory I'm going to spit out there. On
spit it. We like it.
Right? So last year, well, not last year, last release, they had the T100 and the T100S, which were identical from a performance perspective, with the exception of loft and some redesign of the weighting based on the loft.
Right.
So they had two versions of the T100, and then they had the T200 and T300. I suspect, based on the pictures that I've seen, the T100 will now replace the 620 CB. I don't think they're going to do a 620 or whatever variation, 640 CB or whatever. I think they'll still do the MB, of course, because Titleist will always have a true blade, but I don't think they're going to do the CB. I think the T100 takes that spot. And based on the image of the T150, that to me looks like the new T100. And who knows what the lofting will be. Maybe it will just be like the S lofting because people liked it strong. But the 150 to me has that T100 shape that I've become familiar with. T200, the same. T350, I suspect, is just the T300 with a 50 moniker. Maybe they'll explain why, but I think that's what's going on with the T100 and T150.
And they, and getting rid of the T-400.
Okay, so maybe that's like the middle ground. The T-350 finds the place between the 4 and the 3.
The 3 with, yeah, where they're doing that. So then now they're just going to catch them both in that grouping rather than having, right? Now they still have 4 models, right? They've slimmed it down to 4, I guess, because you had the 100, the 100S. But if your theory is correct, if they've slimmed it down to the 4 from 6 models. So,
Well, to me, as a business owner, like, that makes tons of sense. Because if you think about SKUs and how many product variations, it's a nightmare managing that many products. Because we'll look at it. They got an MB, that's one. They got a CB, that's two. And then they've got the T100 and the T100S, that's 4. And then the T200, that's 5. And then the T300, that's 6. And the T400, that's 7. 7 irons in the lineup.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Like, let's cut 2 out. How do we do that? So that 350 finds that sweet spot between the 3 and the 4, which makes way too much sense. So it must be true. And then if my theory is correct, the T100S is essentially the T150.
50.
The 100 is now the CB, which I think we cracked the code.
We'll see how our brains thinking compared to their brains, because there are some manufacturers are doing that, right? Trying to cut out some of the SKUs just to make it simpler, not only for them, but the overall consumer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it helps so much from a business perspective, not only because maybe you need to get lean because material costs have gone up significantly since some of the geopolitical issues that are occurring across the world. And so when, like, I'm dealing with it right now, my shop told me that stainless steel is going to go up 30% this year, 30%. And that's not including like inflation,
right?
Like, that's like material costs sourcing it. So you factor in material costs, inflation, and maybe other companies tightening the strings a little bit. And now you've got a semi-recession, I'll say it. And you've got to pull back the strings as well. You knock two irons off the line, and you reduce SKUs, reduce manufacturing, put you in a healthier spot. So, but I agree.
And like I say, Tidelist always does this. And so when the release is coming, it's usually October-ish, September, October is when they do their release, even though they're saying, well, the release date is undetermined, right? But they don't, because they don't know exactly when that'll be, when everything will be ready from production to release. Yeah. But it's usually in that September, October dating range when they've released their irons. And that being said, there is some Titleist what's in the bags equipment stuff, more equipment stuff, but not in Emiliano Grillo's bag.
Yeah, run me through.
He's a big Callaway guy. He's a big Callaway guy. Goes the Paradigm Triple Diamond 9-degree with the Mitsubishi Tensei 1K Blue 60 TX in his driver. So a little bit higher launching shaft, still stout, right? As all these guys want to do, get it up girthy in the air, reduce that spin a little bit. And then he goes a little bit older with the Callaway Rogue 13, but he goes strong 3-wood, 13.5, which is kind of unusual for the trend that most players have been going with, where they've been going a little bit higher loft. But then he went with a completely different shaft in that, with the Project X Hazardous Smoke Blue RDX 70 TX. But still, he's going with the blue, which is a little bit higher launching shaft. And then the the heavyweight stiff flex to kind of keep it from spinning too much on him. Oh. And then he goes the Callaway hybrid, the Apex hybrid, 20 degrees. So there's a pretty big gap in between there. Did it give his shaft that he has on that one? Or did it not give a shaft in that one?
Didn't see it. No.
So we don't know. We don't know on that one. Because you got that from
How's Golf WRX? How's
Golf WRX? They're usually super, on that.
Super solid.
Usually on that one. Not this time.
Let me double check. But, yeah, they did not say.
But then he plays the 4-9, the Apex TCB irons with the Project X 6.0. And then wedges. This is where it gets a little weird. Not with the fit, the 46 and the 50, because he plays the Callaway Mac Daddy 3 milled in the 46.
Yeah.
And the Callaway Mac Daddy forged in the 50. But then he throws a ginormous curveball and goes the Cobra forged in his 54 and 60.
Yes. And this was like shocking to me, because I think since we've been doing the podcast for say almost 3 years,
yeah,
never
not have not had one winner with Cobra wedges in the back.
Cobra wedge, yeah. And even before that, like when was the last guy? I think it was like Ricky
or possibly Bryson, but I don't know.
Bryson,
yeah, and even that one, we were thinking that the artisan wedges may have been in Bryson's bag for the U.S. Open win that he had. So
yeah, and usually wedges are where a player will kind of jump ship,
yep.
But never in this direction, because yeah. Callaway itself, I would say it's a struggle between second place between Callaway and TaylorMade on wedges. Maybe Callaway is a little bit better because one, they've got Roger Cleveland, and then two, they just have more options.
Right.
And so, but they're both a distant second to Vokey.
Vokey wedges. That is for sure. But he plays the normal, right? The standard Dynamic Gold Tour issue S400s.
Yeah.
In his wedges. Then he goes back into the Callaway family for the putter with the Odyssey White Hot OG Stroke Lab number 5.
Yep.
And then plays the Chrome Soft X ball. But yeah, that looking at that, you're like, oh, going down his bag. You're like, oh, it's going to be Kit. No. Cobra?
Yeah,
wait, did they get that wrong?
I do like that he, as a tour player, goes with a wedge in the 46 and 50, because plain and simple, I don't recommend that for most average golfers, because a traditional wedge is a blade.
Yes.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's a blade.
We've talked about this.
Yeah. If you're a blade player, then yeah, play a 46 degree, which to me is a 9-iron, but for most people it's a pitching wedge. So that totally makes sense for a guy who doesn't miss the sweet spot. And then he just goes wedges all the way through. So he's got four wedges in the bag, or at least four clubs shaped like a wedge, yes, as I'll call it. and it's good.
But yeah, crazy. And then we pulled Harold Varnush from WRX from the PGA Championship, which my guess is what he was playing the exact when he just took from the went from the PGA Championship right to the DC area to play in the Live Golf event. But he has kind of a mixed bag.
Which we've come to really expect from our Live players.
Yeah, they're not bound. And I don't know that he was necessarily bound when he was playing on tour either. I don't think he had a club deal with anybody per se.
I think he did have a Srixon deal. I think he did, and that's how he got into the ZX7s. But that's me testing my memory.
You may be right, but if he did, he went away from that. He went to the Titleist TSR3 driver and then the Project X Hazardous 6.5 TX Hulk 60 gram. And then with his 3-wood 15 degree Titleist TSI2 with the Hulk 70 gram, which, if any of you know the Hulk, it is an extremely boardy shaft. So this
Yeah,
guy does not want it going left.
they
Not,
don't call it the Hulk because it's green.
yeah. They call it that because you've got to have a swing like the Hulk. Not necessarily in speed, but I think with his transition and the way he swings it, but he just
Yeah.
also doesn't want to see it go left at all.
Totally.
So, which is probably the main reason that he does it. And then he goes back to the TSR line for his 3 hybrid, 19 degrees, and then again goes stiff with a 9 TX Ventus hybrid black shaft. And then goes into the where he goes into a combo set in the 4 and 5 and the ZX5. And then ZX7 and 6 through pitching wedge with dynamic gold X100s, which is not a bad setup. My current gamer set of irons is ZX5s in the 4, 5, and 6, and then 7 through pitching wedge in the ZX7s. So
Yeah.
it's a really easy transition from the ZX5 to ZX7, obviously, as his gapping's dialed in. But then goes back to old trusties, the Vokies, for his wedges. It was a
Yeah.
50-12F, 54-14F, and those are both Dynamic Gold X100, which is a little different than most other players. But then we get back to the T grind. But in this one, he goes in the 58 degree instead of the 60 degree. He goes 50, 54, 58 with its wedge setup. And then Odyssey comes back into the bag with the White Hot OG 7S.
Yeah.
And
So
then
he,
Pro
yeah.
V1's X balls.
Yeah, Pro V1X. He's been playing that Odyssey putter for a very long time. I'd say early on in his career, he didn't have a staff agreement necessarily. He had an RBC bag, and he did have a mixed bag. He's
Yep.
almost always played the Strixens, but he did have Ping wedges for a while. But he's played Titleist Woods for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, back since 2021, he's been playing a TSR driver, at least maybe even sooner or longer than
Well,
that.
a TS, not a TSR, because the TSR just came out.
Yeah, a TS driver.
TS driver, yes, for a little bit.
So yeah, I mean, he's kind of stuck to those things, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, this is another win for the Titleist T grind. I don't know how many tour events there have been. Maybe there's been like 18 this year, maybe more. So that means there's 19 T grind wins. No, just kidding. The only
It's
way to win more events than there actually are.
yeah, it's there's a lot, right? And like say, good for Cobra getting in the winner's circle with the wedges. Like I
Yeah.
said, that may be the first of anything this year Cobra related getting in on the win side, period. So I don't
Yeah.
think anybody's played any of their irons, not even a single anything from what I can remember, but I could be wrong. So, well, good for them. Do you have plans to play golf this week?
Ooh, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try. I gotta get prepped for a member guest. It's actually quite a ways out. It's a month out, but I still want to keep my game sharp for it. So that'll be fun. But yeah, gonna try and get down, probably play Riverside. I got to play there the other week, and greens were just lightning. And I'll tell you what, a putter that is a little bit lighter, I've found has really good speed control on fast greens. Not so much on the slow ones, but if you got like lightning, we're pushing 12 on the stimp, you a light putter is something special. So
For sure. Like I said, I'll probably get out and play a little bit.
yeah, where are you thinking?
Not sure yet. I'll be playing 9 holes at Glenmore tomorrow. Not sure where else, but I'll find somewhere to sneak a few more
Yeah.
holes in it. So.
Ooh, one last bit of Utah news. The LPGA Tour made an
Yes.
announcement that they're going to have a tour stop in St. George at the Black Desert Golf Course, the new one
Yeah.
down.
So now they're going to have an Epson Tour event at Copper Rock
Upper
and
Rock.
then an LPGA Tour event at Black Desert down
Yeah.
in the Southern Hemisphere. So.
The first LPGA event since for 60 years is what they said in Utah. So,
Getting back on the map. Getting back on
get
the
back
map.
on the, we've got golf here, folks.
We do have golf here.
So that's pretty cool. I don't know if we'll ever get a PGA Tour stop, but
Well,
we've had a couple
that's
of Barry.
if there's people that, well, that was one of Johnny Miller's kind of things that he wanted to do was what he thought.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving point would be, and it's definitely not.
Well, I think the course had the length, but the one major issue that I've heard that the PGA Tour has with the location is there's a double back in the course, and it's hole number 7, the par 3. You come up to it, you hit over the river, and then you have to come
Yeah.
backward to go to
Yes.
number 8.
Yeah, and which
And they
is
want course to flow.
the
You
big no-no.
go to 9, go to 10. So I don't know if that's something they could have avoided in the original layout, possibly, but it's a dang cool hole
Yeah.
to you know, I think it's one of the best holes on the course, actually, to hit
It's a
over the
really good
river.
hole. Yeah, it's a really good one. But yeah, they maybe could have, but I'm just trying to think they could, I don't think they could reroute it anywhere either to
No.
try to avoid it. So I don't know. Kind of cool. Like I said, there's some other that have went up that have tried to say the same thing, but I don't know that there's anywhere of worth for a PGA Tour event here just yet. But doesn't mean that can't happen in the future.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I think that's it. Everybody, thanks for listening. Give us a rating and review if you would please. That would be awesome. But until next time, we're out.